You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in for this weekend's Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. First off, we're going to listen to part of Friday's show where Mike Mankey joined us. Mike Mankey is the PA voice behind the Badgers. If you've ever gone to a Badger football game and heard First and 10 Wisconsin, you've heard his voice. But there's a lot more to his story. Here's Todd's conversation with Mike Mankey.
Mike Mankey, the PA announcer for Badger Athletics, is here in studio. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time to come in.
It is my pleasure, Todd. I'm fired up and ready for tomorrow. Homecoming always gets some special juices going.
For those that don't know, listening across the state, it is homecoming week here in Madison. I went to Platteville because I did not have the academics to get into Madison, but both my godsons are graduates of UW-Madison, and I bleed Cardinal and white. Greg Gard was at Platteville when I was there together. He probably won't remember me anymore, but just we were talking about a little bit before the last segment about the Brewers. Pat Murphy has said it's the who with the crew this year in the locker room. Some of these guys are younger. They might not have the resume, but it's the who. Have you found the same thing in all your years with Badger Athletics? Some of the best teams, it's the who, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, the who sometimes is more than one person. Mm-hmm. But it's, I think, reflective of a culture. And, you know, I listened to your little soundbite a little bit ago about Kristen Yelich. And the calm, cool, collected nature of, you know, they're facing a game five here. And it is all about the who and how they embody the culture of any team. And as far as Badger sports go, you can go look at all your successful seasons. And it's not just a great player. It's like a captain. It's someone who represents the team. That is the who.
Yeah. Before we get into some of the athletics, give people, if you're willing, a little peek behind it, because I think we hear your voice, those of us that go to a lot of Badger events. And tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you got into this gig.
So, yeah, it's a circuitous route. I can take you on a scenic route here. So I grew up in Racine. I graduated from Racine-Horlick High School and decided my senior year that I was going to join the Army. So instead of coming right into college, that was my game plan initially. My dad had been an Army vet. My grandfather was in the Army. I had uncles, you know, galore that were in the Army and Navy and Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. And I decided, you know what, this is going to be a path that I'm going to take. It opened up, old GI Bill was still in place. Yep. So I joined the Army, went for a 3-year hitch, two of which were in Germany. Came back and was a 21-year-old freshman at the University of Wisconsin. And it was one of those things where the GI Bill back then, I could go pretty much anywhere I wanted to. I wanted to play baseball if I could in college. I played in high school. Baseball was my sport. Played in Germany, played in California when I was stationed out there. And thought that maybe I could play some ball in college. Yeah. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. But went 4 years, graduated in 84. And had more Army to do. I was commissioned through ROTC here at the UW, Army ROTC. So I gave them some more time after graduating and then came back in 85 and got a job, went to grad school for a whole semester and was hired during that semester and said, I guess I don't need any more schooling. I guess I'll take the gig. And I worked for an ad agency here in Madison called Towel Advertising. And 39 years later, I retired last year.
Wow.
From the same company. But the nice thing is for the last 10 years, I was a co-owner of the company.
Nice.
So we had a very successful decade too. So yeah, so I'm recently retired. Mm-hmm. I started announcing for the UW in 1992. And it was a fluke. I knew people. I had done a little bit of radio. Mm-hmm. Actually, from 91 until 92, I was co-host on WTSO with a show with Diana Summers called Madison Nightline.
Sure.
I don't know if you recall it.
I used to be a listener to TSL back in the day.
Way back in the day. You know, they changed. They were country, then they were talk, then they were sports and talk and country. They kind of bounced back and forth. That was in the talk era of WTSO. But I was also involved in an improv comedy group called Comedy Sports for 10 years here on State Street. And one of my buddies was pinch hitting for the women's basketball PA announcer, who was a DJ at Triple M or something like that. And he said, hey, I can't do a gig. I can't do one of the games. How would you like to do women's basketball? I said, I love basketball. I've never done PA announcing at any level. I'm not afraid to be in front of a mic, but you got me. What do you do? Yeah. He said, I knew what PA announcers did. I grew up listening to Bob Betts at County Stadium and Jack Rain for the Badgers, but kind of heroes of mine. But I had never done it. And I showed up. I did it. They said, this is what you do. And after the game, they said, how would you like to finish the season? Oh, and by the way, how would you like to do some volleyball?
Wow.
So I've never even seen volleyball. They said, it's okay. We'll show you what to do. So in 92, I finished up the women's basketball. I started doing volleyball, and I did both women's and basketball and volleyball for 4 or 5 seasons after that. Yeah. And then football came along. Jack Rain, God rest his soul, he passed away in early 1994 in the beginning of the men's basketball season. And so I took that season and started football the next year. So, and I did men's hockey. I forgot about that for about 4 seasons.
Just incredible.
So at one, for like a year or two, I was doing women's basketball, volleyball, hockey. There wasn't a women's hockey. So hockey, football and men's basketball, the 5 sports. And, I had to make a decision because the kids were coming along. Our family was growing and I did have a real job. So, I said, you know, how about if I limit it to football and men's basketball, but I'll pinch hit whenever you need me for any sport at any point. So I've continued to do volleyball, 2, 3, 4 matches. This year, a little bit more than normal. I've done 6 matches since that time. Bonnie does such a great job. I don't know if you know Bonnie Olson. She's had the gig for 25 plus years, but she has other commitments. So I do a handful of volleyball matches every year, but men's basketball and football have been the gig now for 30 plus years.
Absolutely incredible.
That's the short story right there.
We're talking with Mike Mankey, who is the Badger public address announcer for Badger Athletics. I need to refresh my StreamYard. There we go.
It just started working.
Oh, fantastic. See these technical difficulties. When Todd's in charge, it doesn't work out well, the technical difficulty side. Thank you, Zommers. Mike, talk to us a little bit about things that you've seen through the years. I mean, you got in at the start of the Barry Alvarez years, which I think some people kind of forget. The first couple weren't that great until 94. And then, of course, the Rose Bowl year and things take off. But what of all your years, having a literally a front row seat at sometimes in these events, what sticks out as a couple of memories from any sport?
Well, we'll take football. And like I said, my first season was 95. Mm-hmm. And that first game was actually against Colorado at Camp Randall as a nationally televised game, which was kind of rare for us. And like you said, in Barry's early years, I mean, wins were still kind of tough to come by. And that season, though, was a kind of a little bit of a turning of the corner. And then Dane came the next year. So he had Dane in 96, 97, 98, 99, 4 years of greatness.
Yeah.
And that really catapulted us to a next level. So some of the things that I've seen in this is season number 31 for football, is great running back after great running back after great running back. And actually tomorrow, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Monte Ball is being recognized.
I did not know that.
For being installed in the College Football Hall of Fame. And I think the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. So there's going to be some hardware that he gets tomorrow. But he's just another example. I mean, I could name off a dozen of them. But Monte Ball will be recognized tomorrow, which is pretty cool. So for football, you know, our ground and pound game, our running game has been something that's been a hallmark that I've really, really enjoyed. For basketball, you know, very similar. Started with actually, Stu Jackson was the first coach that I called games for, right? And then Stan Van Gundy, and it took off from there with Coach Bennett and Brad Soderberg, and then Bo, and now Greg. So I've seen a lot of different styles of ball as far as basketball goes. And again, somehow I force-gumped my way into a golden era of Wisconsin basketball and football. And it's been an amazing ride.
Talk to us, Mike Mankey, a little bit about these iconic calls. First and 10, how soon did that come along after you started doing football? And Ron Dayne, where did that one come from?
So first and 10, Wisconsin. Honestly, I think I've been saying that pretty much since day one. When I didn't know when the crowd started reacting to it, I paid close attention to what Jack Rain was doing because I had been doing women's basketball for a handful of years. Mm-hmm. And I just had listened to him anyway. After growing up listening to Bob Betts do Brewers games, I always loved that personality behind the microphone. You know, it was like the voice of God type of thing. So I listened to how they went about their business. And I tried to replicate certain things that Jack Rain did, but not identical to how he did them. So I don't think he did First and 10 Wisconsin, but that's something that just kind of grew. And then when the crowd started repeating it, and it became kind of a fun back and forth type of thing. So, gosh, I think I've been saying that for decades. The Ron Dayne thing was one of those where I'm a Badger fan. Mm-hmm. And I was a student here, like I mentioned. I grew up a Badger football fan. Went to my first homecoming game. My homecoming 1971 was my first Badger game. Rufus Ferguson and his crew. So I've been a Badger football fan my whole life, but I didn't expect when Ron Dayne came on board that I would become a fan in the booth, as well as being just an information delivery system, which is what you're supposed to do when you're a PA guy. But you can have a little fun, too.
Sure.
And when Ron Dayne carried the ball, and when he'd get 10 yards, 15 yards, 20 yards, I'm like, I'm not in my seat. I'm standing. And I'm going, Ron Dayne to the 17-yard line. And then first and 10 was kind of, it just kind of came naturally. But that whole Ron Dayne thing was just part of the exuberance of being a fan that happened to have a microphone and 80,000 people listening to it. So it was a pretty cool gig.
Well, I tell you, it's pretty cool sitting next to you, hearing those words come out of your mouth. I mean, football wouldn't be football. I'm going tomorrow. Zomer and I are going tomorrow. It's just not the same thing if you weren't there doing those things. And it's just, you become part of the Badger experience.
I appreciate it. And like I say, I'm a lucky fan that somehow ended up in the press box. That's basically it.
A couple minutes here before the first break, we're talking to Mike Mankey, Badger PA announcer. How do you when we get new players, obviously every year, how do you decide how you're going to say Brad Davidson on the basketball court or whoever on the, what is it? Do you practice a few times in private or?
You know, not really. I do practice foreign born players' names just to make sure that, I want their parents to be proud. Right. I don't want to screw anything up. So, but as far as rehearsing how that call is going to happen, early on I thought I needed to do that. And by early on, I mean 30 years ago. But then it became more of a grassroots, organic type of way of calling their name. Mm-hmm. I waited for the moment. So Brad Davison, occurred, it was much like, Brad Davison for three! It just kind of happened. I didn't have to rehearse it, and if it sounded goofy or odd, maybe I'd say something different the next time, but I really didn't know what would come out of my mouth.
And, I love that. Just spontaneous, true passion.
Yeah, right. Like I said, it's, just because I've been a fan for so long, it just kind of happens naturally. So that's
but
the
I think
best
that,
way.
That makes the difference, does it not? At least for me as a fan in the stands, knowing that you're passionate about these teams and these guys and gals, that's what makes the difference.
I bleed Cardinal and white, brother.
Absolutely. Come back more and talk more with Mike Mankey, voice of the Badgers on the PA side announcer. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. No more.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
See you. Wisconsin marching band under the direction of former professor Mike Lecro. Well, he's still a professor, but not the director of the band anymore. With a little, if you want to be a Badger, come along with me. No better Badger to be talking with on a Friday of homecoming week than Mike Mankey, Badgers PA announcer, alum of Wisconsin. Thanks for your service, Mike, for ROTC and beyond. We are big on veterans here on this program, so thanks for that.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. It's it was a good gig, 17 years worth of Army duty.
And also, we don't really have time to get into it now, but we'll look at the stream. If you missed it during the commercial break, that's why you tune in between commercial breaks and the stream. One of the few people I know and have met that knows where Hub City is.
Hub City! To all your listeners in beautiful downtown Hub City.
In Richland County, yeah.
Right. Fortunately, it doesn't have very positive memories for
I'm
me.
I'm sorry to hear they were injured at a softball game.
I was injured. It was traumatic.
I'm sorry to hear that. I wanted to give you, I did a little research here. You have a really cool connection to Camp Randall. And that you had a family member that served there, I believe.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So we're talking in between, you know, we were talking a little bit about why I went in the Army, the fact that my dad had been, my grandfather had been, other family members. But when my family first came over from Germany and settled in the Sheboygan and Manitowoc area, they came over from Germany in the 1800s, chiefly to escape revolution and war in Germany, only to have one of my great-great-great uncles volunteer for the Wisconsin infantry. And he was stationed at Camp Randall as a captain. And I got out of the Army as a captain, ironically. So I did not know that until I did some family genealogy work and almost fell off my chair when I discovered that back in 1864, he was stationed here when it was an actual camp.
Right.
And, you know.
I just think it's incredible to have a relative who was stationed there in the Union Army. And now you're there every Saturday home game in that exact location.
I know.
Calling games.
Pinch me. It's really weird. And even in ROTC, so this is the early 80s, they had a firing range inside of Camp Randall, albeit not, it wasn't very big. It was like a long closet, basically. But that's where we trained, for our ROTC firing of M16. So anyway.
I'd be remiss, Mike Mankey, if I didn't at least ask you your opinion. I mean, you're not here representing the athletic department per se, but boy, been a tough year for Badger football fans. And I think a lot of people in the change was made from, I was a big Paul Chris fan and was hoping that Jim Leonard, but I got all on board the Luke Fickell train early on. And boy, it's been tough to watch. And we've had Brady Ewing and we've had Joe Thomas on this show. And I think for those who played, they keep saying just the culture. And what's it like for you? You're not in the locker room per se, but what's this season been like for you and even the end of last year?
Well, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm an optimist. I'm the half glass full guy when it comes, especially to Badger sports. It's been challenging for sure. The biggest challenges have been, especially last year, losing to Iowa the way we did and losing to Minnesota the way we did. The rivalry games are the ones that I think probably mean the most to me. That's why tomorrow is such an important game. So I don't know if tomorrow's a must-win game. Tomorrow's a must-win game. And so is the Minnesota game. Those are two games like I really, really want to wear. So it's been kind of tough, but I keep hoping that we turn the corner and things start to gel. Injuries always play a role, but they do at every level. You know, you look at the Packers, their injuries on their O-line have caused a little bit of havoc lately. You know, how do they lose against the Browns? And how do they tie the Cowboys?
Right.
I mean, so I know that they're kind of circling the wagons as well to a degree. But I think when it comes to just looking at how the landscape of college football is developing here, the last couple years especially, depth becomes such a critical issue. And depth for us on the offensive line seems to be the thing that we're lacking most. The haves, the Ohio States, the Oregons, the Michigans, you name it, those are the teams that can throw enough money out there to have depth at their two deeps. You know, we come from a slightly different landscape. So I think we've got to understand that it may take a little time. It may take a lot of money, but I would still, I don't like to hear fans say fire Fickell or boo the team when they come off the field. I understand why they're doing it. I really just don't like to hear that.
I think especially the players. I mean, even though there's NIL now, I mean, those guys and gals, they're working their butts off. Nobody's coming on those fields or on those courts trying to lose. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see it close up.
Absolutely. They're the last people that want to come off the field to that.
Right.
And you know, again, it's been a little chaotic. I mean, some of the things we've seen on the sidelines and even the games have not been really torqued down. But hopefully tomorrow we turn the page.
1 minute left. Mike Mankey, what have I not asked you? You want people to know.
What have you not asked me? What I love about football Saturdays. What do you love about football Saturdays? Let me ask
days you. Like this, golden leaves, crisp, clean air, my UW hoodie on, and hanging out with family and friends.
And I do too. And I love night games on football Saturdays where the sun is down and we'll have fireworks over Camp Randall. And then you can also hear my First and Ten Wisconsin reverberate off of all of the roofs of homes in the Monroe and Regent Street neighborhoods.
I've heard it before. We'll hear it again tomorrow. I can hear the game on many of our Civic Media stations. Pre-game show tomorrow starts at 4 o'clock with the kickoff at Camp Randall just after 6. Iowa visiting Wisconsin. Mike Mankey, thank you so much. Come on back soon. There's so many more things we'd love to talk about with you.
Todd, I'd be happy to.
Quickly, we're coming up next hour. We do a What's Worse every day. Today's What's Worse, losing to Iowa or losing to Minnesota?
They're both distasteful. In football, man. Losing to Minnesota is
totally agree. It's the axe. It's all about the axe, right?
Right. And PJ Fleck.
And PJ, the Fleckster. The Fleckster is taking on the Ficklers.
Coming up next, we're going to rewind back to Wednesday, where Todd had a conversation with Lar Kong Zhang, president of the board of the Eau Claire Area Hmong Mutual Assistance Association. Tune in to learn more about the Eau Claire Hmong New Year. With us on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Right now, we're going to hear Todd's conversation from earlier in the week with Lar Kong Zhang, the board president of the Eau Claire Area Hmong Mutual Assistance Association. This weekend is the Eau Claire Hmong New Year, a huge event with tons of music, food, dance, and so much more. If you're hearing this on Saturday and you're in the Eau Claire area, you might still have time to check it out. But otherwise, you can go to EauClaireHmongNewYear.com to learn more about Sunday's hours. I highly recommend checking it out.
Lar Kong Zhang joins us via StreamYard from the Eau Claire area. And Lar, thank you so very much for taking the time.
Thank you, Todd and Aaron, for inviting me on to the show too as well. I appreciate it.
Well, it's our pleasure. My sister and brother-in-law live in the Eau Claire area, and so I get up there quite a bit. And I have an appreciation for how entwined and how appreciated the Hmong community is, especially in that part of the state. And I know you have a special event coming up this weekend. We want to talk about that a little bit. But as we do with all of our first-time guests on this show, Lar, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how you came to be associated with the Hmong Mutual Assistance Association in Eau Claire.
All right. A little story about myself, too. Here's a little background. I was born and raised right here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Went to the local elementary schools here, high schools here, North High School, go north. And my dad came from Laos all the way to Chicago, then came to Eau Claire and built our family here in the small town Eau Claire, and has grown to one beautiful city here that has accepted our community here. Mm-hmm.
It explain to folks, and I know a little bit, but I'm certainly not an expert in this. The Hmong community has a rich history in Wisconsin, and explain to folks what it was that made Wisconsin kind of a landing point for immigrants to come here in the Hmong community. What drew them to Wisconsin, and why Wisconsin?
Yeah, when the Hmong got displaced, or the Hmong diaspora, we got put into bigger cities first. The Hmong families got put into bigger cities. Like I said, my family came to Chicago first, and it seemed like it was a little bit too hectic for them because our background is in farming. So Wisconsin in a small town, rural areas, Eau Claire, that was still small town farming. I remember when my dad, growing up here, my dad, they came here, we were in the gardens, we were helping farmers with their cucumbers and picking that for their business, so for the farming business. So I believe the farming business is what brought us to the smaller rural areas.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but much of the community, or at least some of the initial immigrants, were essentially refugees of Laos due to war. Is that correct?
Definitely, yeah. We're displaced to helping out with the secret war. It was in parallel with the Vietnam War too. But the Hmong had special tasks to help down American pilots, help with shooting down communications with the communists. And for being in that role, playing that part, that's when the United States pulled out. That's when our Hmong people had to disperse and had to run to refugee camps and swim across, run through the jungles, bring their family, whatever they can, to the jungles, and then swim across the Mekong River to refugee camps in Thailand. And that's where hundreds and thousands of Hmong people eventually died too as well.
I think it's an important story for our listeners to hear across the state, because I think a lot of people understand, at least tangentially, the Vietnam War at a certain level, but the role that the Hmong people had in Laos and the story of your community often goes, in my opinion, unfortunately, and sadly overlooked, and the fact that many people in your community at the time were just kind of, as you said, left to fend for themselves, and then eventually, to some degree, helped as refugees and brought to the United States. And I think that's an important historical point that more Wisconsinites should understand.
Definitely. And I believe that that should be taught in all schools in Wisconsin. And I know that the governor has passed a law to have the teachings of the Hmong in the school programs, in the school classes, because it's important. Sometimes if other individuals like my kids, they don't really know who they are now. They don't speak the Hmong language, but it's important that it's part of our history. It's good to know that the Hmong people was with the United States, helping out the United States.
We're talking with Lar Kong Zhang here from Eau Claire area. He is the board president of the Hmong Mutual Assistance Association. Lar, talk to us a little bit about the Hmong Mutual Assistance Association. How did it start, and what's its mission and role in the Chippewa Valley area?
Yeah, the Hmong Mutual Assistance started in 1982 when the Hmong people arrived. The first Hmong family arrived here in Eau Claire in 1976. Mm-hmm. And the first Hmong individuals arrived in America in 1975. That's why we're celebrating 50 years in America. It's a big milestone. But in 1982, the Hmong and Eau Claire kind of got together and started the Hmong Mutual Assistance Association to help with the language barrier, to kind of help with finding jobs. One big aspect was they were coming back from a war-torn country, and there was no jobs. They didn't have anything to rely on. It's kind of hard to even speak the language. Mm. What they had was just clothing on their back. So this association helped them learn skills to help them with jobs, language skills, go to school, and kind of help them fit into the society, which they completely don't know anything about. But the association has been here for a long time, and we really do help with community focus, where we help with bilingual cultural tailored programs and support. We have a broad reach of 1,300 individuals in the community too, with helping with housing, education, services, and we do also operate other programs too with sexual assault victims, domestic assault. We also have consistent community like food pantries in our association too as well. So our services does expand more than just the Hmong community since we've been here, but we've come here to help other individuals that's gone through what we've gone through too as well.
We're speaking with Lar Kong Zhang from the Hmong Mutual Assistance Association in Eau Claire. And Lar, I have two godsons. They're half Salvadoran. Their mom is originally from El Salvador. And I think there are so many people, Wisconsinites, who, you know, they don't have just German white heritage. They're from mixed families or what have you. And in this state, it seems like we're very proud to have Oktoberfest and German Fest and Italia Fest. But I think whether it's Latino community or the Hmong community, some of these other communities are not always celebrated enough, in my opinion. And I think there's almost, unfortunately, some withholding of culture. I know from what you've provided us, you experienced a little bit of that growing up. It was your dad. He was the first Hmong elected official in Wisconsin, I believe. And he helped you kind of embrace your heritage.
Yes, most definitely. My dad's name is Joe Bijong. He was the first elected official here in Wisconsin, maybe in the United States. He ran in auto places at Eau Claire, Wisconsin, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm so proud and happy about Eau Claire being first for Hmong firefighter, first for Hmong principal, elected Hmong principal, first for Hmong anchors, news anchors. So there's a lot of firsts in Eau Claire here. So where my dad was the first elected official, which proved to us and showed us that it gave us the confidence that about the community, the leadership, and what we can do, there's endless possibilities.
I love this because then we take this show on the road. We've done it from Eau Claire before at Shift Coffee and at the Pablo Center and other places. And as I travel around, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin, in the southwest part, but as you travel around, it turns out that at the end of the day, we're just all Wisconsinites. And if we could get past language or ethnicity barriers or religious barriers and just focus on firefighters, educators, we all are just the same and we all appreciate and love the same things. And that's part of what makes Wisconsin great.
Definitely. Like I said, I was born and raised in here. I didn't go through all the growing pains that my parents, they did. Each generation goes through different types of thing where I was born and raised here and I was stuck in between two cultures, speaking Hmong and then at home and then going to school and then speaking the English and then being proficient at Hmong. But then when I want to speak at Hmong at school, no one knows except the other Hmong students. And it's kind of sometimes embarrassing for us to kind of talk or show our culture and heritage at school. But my dad showed us that it was okay. My dad was a big performer. He has a lot of shows, done performances for PBS, Wisconsin, through all schools and through businesses to kind of show and be an advocate for our Hmong culture and who we are and what we do and our playing our instruments to make sure everyone has to understand that we're here and we're going to be impactful individuals in society.
To your point, Aaron Zomers, our producer, played some of the music you provided us on the way in, some of this great music. And you have a celebration taking place here very soon, the Eau Claire Hmong New Year taking place in Eau Claire. Tell us a little bit about that and how people could participate.
Yeah, definitely. So one thing was that when COVID happened, right, COVID seemed like it was a thing of the past, but it's not. Ever since COVID, we haven't had a New Year here. Until last year. So last year was the first New Year. We missed out in 5 years of New Year's celebration. And it kind of felt like there was a void in our community. There was a void, especially in me. My son was born during COVID and he has never experienced a New Year, a Hmong New Year celebration. But for these Hmong New Year celebrations, it's a celebration of our elders, our ancestors, and our culture, a celebration of a feast and the end of harvest for our community. And it brings our community and everyone together to have feast together, to see our one another from afar. Like we'll have the Eau Claire New Year, but they'll have a Madison New Year. They'll have Milwaukee New Year. So when we have our Eau Claire New Year, all the other surrounding cities will be coming to our New Year to celebrate friends, family, and relatives and have a feast together, eat and drink together, and celebrate with all these singing and singing instruments and are showing off our clothing. And if you haven't seen our clothing, it's something so unique,
beautiful,
and so wonderful and beautiful. You can tell someone of Hmong descent is coming your way if you can just hear all the jingle of the coins hitting each other. So that's something unique. But our Eau Claire Hmong New Year is something wonderful where it's happening at the Sinatag Event Center, which was just built last year in 2024. Sinatag Center, it's on Menominee Street here in Eau Claire. And it's happening October 11th and 12th. It's happening this weekend.
So this weekend at the Sonntag Event Center in Eau Claire goes both Saturday and Sunday from 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. And it's open to the public, right? Admission, $8?
Yep, open to the public. Admission, $8. We'll have food trucks right in the front of the parking lot. Mm-hmm. The parking lot, just be aware of the parking spaces. The Sonntag doesn't have that much parking in the front, but we have access to Menominee Street parking and Carson Park. We have busing from Carson Park to the parking lot back and forth. But it's going to be awesome. We have some sporting competitions happening in the field house as well as vendors in there. And the field house is a big 100-yard football field there too. So, and I got to brag about it. It's the eighth largest field house in NCAA. And it's one of the biggest event center in the Northwest region, Wisconsin.
Stay with us, Laura. We'll pick it up on the other side. Got to do a little business here. We are speaking with Laura Zhang, Kong Zhang from Eau Claire about the Hmong New Year happening this weekend in the Chippewa Valley. Stay tuned. We'll wrap it up after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC, CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to, a check of weather, and then our great sports reporter Mike Clemens is in with a sports report, followed by another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show and Pete Schwabe and Nightlight across most of these stations. Now, on some of our stations, namely WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward, those stations will be carrying the Milwaukee Brewers taking on the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field this afternoon. You can hear that over the air, as they say, terrestrial radio on those stations. On the stream, we can't stream the game because of Major League Baseball owning those rights. So on the stream, you'll hear the Maggie Dawn Show at 4 o'clock. But over the air of those stations I mentioned, you will hear the Brewers game. Go Crew! Hopefully they can wrap it up this afternoon against the Cubs down there in Chicago. Right now, we're talking to Laura Kong Zhang from Eau Claire. He is the board president of the Hmong Mutual Assistance Association, talking about the Hmong New Year coming up this weekend in the, is it Sonntag? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Sonntag.
Right. Sonntag Event Center in Eau Claire. It's going to be going on both Saturday and Sunday, 7 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. It is open to everyone. Admission is $8 at the door. Kids 10 and under, as well as seniors 65 and older, are free. So it's a great chance to get out and learn about the Hmong community, have some great food, enjoy some great music, and have a great time. I mentioned my sister earlier. She lives up there in Eau Claire along with my brother-in-law and nieces. And Heather checking in on Facebook saying, the Hmong New Year is a fantastic celebration. I have attended in the past. I love when students wear their traditional clothing to school to celebrate. She is a teacher in the Eau Claire School District. Now, she teaches at Memorial, but she also has taught at North. So she's also she's not too entrenched in one of them.
Not too entrenched in a crosstown rivalry.
Right. Because you're a North graduate, is that right?
Definitely. All right. I'm a North graduate. So.
All right. Well, she's taught at both. anything else we need to know about the Hmong New Year, Lar, up there in Eau Claire this weekend?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, the parking, it might be a little congested, but just be patient. We have busing from the Carson Park parking lot to back and forth from the Sonntag as well. And just come in. It might be a little shell shock. If it's going to be busy, you're going to see a huge stage, a huge stadium, like benches and a ton of people walking around to the food courts and everything. But if you have any questions, just ask around. Don't be shy. It's open for everyone. It's something unique. If you have never been to one, it's something unique where this year we have close to 41 dance teams that are competing for a competition of Hmong dance, traditional Hmong dances. if you haven't seen their attire and their dance routine, my goodness, last year I just wanted to give all the dancers some kind of prize, yeah. But we only have first, second, third, but the intensity and everything is just awesome there.
What you said earlier, I want to pick up on, and the little bit that again, through my former work in politics, my former boss toured the Hmong Center in Eau Claire, I just find the community and the people so welcoming and so friendly. And I think for those, you know, plain old white dudes or gals that grew up in Wisconsin, you mentioned earlier it was intimidating sometimes for you being a minority. I would say sometimes for people that grew up in not familiar, maybe people out there listening are like, well, I don't know, I'd feel weird if I went. And that's not the case at all. You want people to come because the more we understand each other's culture, I think the better we get along.
Definitely. You know, like I said, that's how I do things too. Like if I go to like Oktoberfest, mm-hmm. something where I'm not traditionally accustomed to, but I'm going to go out of my norm just to go out and check it out and see it through to kind of learn about different cultures in our community. Same thing. We are more than welcoming. And what better way to welcome anyone to come join us about we're going to be talking about our food, right?
Right, right.
What better way than food?
So food is the international ambassador, right?
Definitely. So come and try our food. Try our Nava drinks. Try our papaya. Try our Hmong sausages. There might be some stuff that it's a little bit acquired taste, but when it comes to like Hmong sausages, sticky rice, pork belly, we're going to have a ton of variety of foods here. So come on through. Don't be afraid to ask. We want to invite everyone to come and check it out and just try something new, a new experience and kind of like, wow, how come I haven't been here before?
Right. Zomers has the on the Chiron there scrolling across the bottom of the screen for those watching on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. For those that are listening over the air, if you want more information, just take it on the old Google or put in the old www, and it's Eau Claire Hmong, spelled Hmong, newyear.com. Eau Claire Hmong, newyear.com, and you can find out more information there. Laura, anything that we have not asked you yet that you want to make sure people know either about the association or about the event?
No, like I said, just come through and come support our community here. It might be a little bit overwhelmed, but at the end of the day, I think we're more than welcoming and want everyone to come see our culture, our rich culture, and what we have to offer for the community. And I know it's going to be a nice weekend this weekend. Yeah. You can go to the pumpkin patch, come back, and then come grab a few drink, a boba tea or a Nava right? drink over at the new year and grab some food. And come check it out too as well.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Lara Kong Zhang, board president of the Hmong Mutual Assistance Association in Eau Claire. Thanks for taking the time. You're part of what makes Wisconsin great, and we'd love to have you back another time.
Thanks a lot, Todd and Aaron, for having me on too as well. We appreciate everything that you guys do for our community. Well,
thank you so much. Have a great day up there. A great event this weekend. All right.
That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.